Utah State, Matt Wells, head coach, coming into his third season. The Broncos will be down there on Friday night, October the 16th. Coach Wells, thank you for joining us. And you guys had a good season last year, won 10 games. Won 10 games with four quarterbacks. Kind of hard to do.
Technically five.
Five,
we
okay.
got to our fifth in the bowl game.
Well, you had four when we saw you that last regular
season
game.
I know it.
How
I
tough
know
was
it.
That? And then you bring Keaton down here. And that guy's all-conference player. I mean, to have to go to two, three, four, and then know what you have sitting over there hurt.
Yeah, that was a challenge. You know, my hat's off to really, if I had to talk about somebody, it'd be the guys around them. You know, whether it was the guys on defense or the guys around those other quarterbacks. You know, I think, obviously, Kent, you know, that was his only loss in Boise that night.
Oh, is that right?
You know, a guy goes 5-1, he's redshirting, and then we yank it off in October, and he goes 5-1 down the stretch and helps us win the bowl game. But I truly think that is reflective of how we played on defense and how we played around him.
If you can stay with the Boise State game for a second, I thought your comments after were pretty appropriate. I thought you were like, what the hell happened here? I mean, the defense, the strength of the team. I know Kyler wasn't there, but you kind of knew that the whole season.
We didn't have Kyler all year.
Yeah, so you knew that wasn't there, but so many other pieces and parts were. You look back on it now, what happened that night?
We just fell apart. You know, we were hanging on for a long time and had a good run. And maybe just right there at the very end, it was, you know, Boise was obviously, to me, it proved out in the bowl game to be at the pinnacle of their year. Which is what you want to play as a coach. And but, you know, I just think, you know, kind of ran into a buzzsaw. They played tremendous, and give them the credit. We did not play very well, whether our wheels fell off or we had everything. We spent everything we had up into that point. I don't know. I'm sure it was a combination, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and you've also made some comments that really things do go through Boise. In terms of if you're in the Mountain Division, this is the team that has to be beaten, and you're not afraid to point that out.
No, to me, it's just stating the obvious. I'm not trying to, you know, pat Boise on the back any more than they deserve or they need to be, but the road to the Mountain West Championship goes right through Boise until somebody knocks them off the pedestal. It's theirs. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Brian, his staff, what's gone on before him, the coaching change. That stuff hasn't changed. I mean, Boise's Boise. There's a culture there. It's sustained. It's, I think it's a model of success.
Coach Matt Wells joins us here at Las Vegas. We are at Mountain West Media Days. You're listening to Sports Radio 93.1 FM, 1350 AM, The Ticket. Coach, Utah State over the last several years, probably enjoying for a longer period of time, one of its greatest stretches in college football at Utah State. What does the Aggie program need to do to knock Boise State off to become the dominant team in the Mountain West?
Well, you got to find a way to win one time, you know, and whether you deserve it, you don't deserve it, doesn't matter. You got to find a way to win. And for us, it's just about trying to sustain what we have and to recreate it. To me, that's the challenge, is trying to recreate what we have each and every year with, you know, for me, some staff turnover, with some player turnover, either graduation or the NFL or whatever it may be. But you know, it's what you're building through development. I think we're a developmental program from a recruiting standpoint, building that depth. And then you got to have some breaks go your way. But to me, to have those breaks go your way, you have to create them.
Yeah, visiting Matt Wells, the Utah State head football coach. And, Coach, talking about breaks, if it wasn't the quarterback situation or the backbreaker may have been Fackrell. I mean, outside looking in, to see a guy of that talent go down, it was devastating for a fan or a media guy. But the accident that happened in this offseason, we need this update on a lot of these defensive linemen. Was a fear of mine when I heard the story. I said, man, they travel in packs, position groups. Give us the update, as you can present it, on what is the health of these kids that were in this car accident.
They're, Jeff, first of all, let's just say this. They're very, very fortunate they're alive. I'm not trying to over-dramatize something. They're very fortunate they're walking, and they're all going to play football again. You know, some earlier than others. John Taylor, he'll be ready to practice. You know, he'll be ready day one of training camp. He's ready to rock and roll.
Wow.
Edmund Famalu and Wale, they're progressing. They're going to practice again this year. When? I don't know. They're progressing through.
But they will get a chance to practice.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be at some point. coming up. And, you know, and I think it's wrong for me as a head coach to be able to, you know, you ain't gonna put a timeline on it because there's some internal injuries and those things take time. You know, Travis Seifelt is the one that's going to be harder for him to come back. You know, our doctors and medical staff have said, you know, it's going to be a tough road to hoe and harder for him to come back. And if that's the case, then we'll support him and everything that we can do to help him get his extension for a sixth year, and we'll kind of move on from there.
How'd you pick yourself up when you heard this? The coach's call you never want to get. How did this work for Matt Wells? Maybe a first time for you or maybe not.
Well, it was as a head coach, especially the severity of it. You know, you get that call. You know, I was in a meeting. You know, I felt phone buzz, and you just kind of mute it, and then it rings again 10 seconds later, and I look out, and it was my wife. She'll get mad if she hears this, but, you know, let it go to voicemail. I'm in a meeting, an athletic department meeting. Then comes a call from a former student trainer at Utah State who was a student trainer when I played there.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay.
All the same message.
I wouldn't listen to the voicemails, but
sure.
The calls were coming in. And then, you know, I'm talking about within about a minute, maybe 2 minutes. And the fourth one was from our head trainer. And I'm like, okay, hold on just a second. I need to take this call. And, you know, he tells me the name of the student trainer. We were all student athletes together. I mean, they were student trainers. I was a student athlete at Utah State at the same time. And he said, yeah, you just called me. And I said, yeah, you just called me too. What's up? You hear rec. You hear players. And you hear, you need to go right now. And, you know, the first thing that I said is, anybody died? And they're like, nope, but you better be there right now. You know, I think it just, you know, man, it's nothing can prepare you for that. And you just react. And you wrap your arms around them. You love, support, you're there. I think it's, you know, the presence, not just for me, but for our wives, our players. I mean, the way Chucky and those guys responded was really pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't think, you know, Jeff, I don't think you can really prepare for a day like that or a call like that because you don't know when it's coming.
And then
you
the parents, right? Were you responsible for calling those parents right away?
Yeah, that, you know, leaving the scene, that was maybe the four toughest phone calls I've made in my life because you don't have a tremendous amount of information. You have very direct information.
Right.
Rec, serious,
life flight.
Get here now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're alive.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Don't know much else. And, yeah, those were four tough phone calls.
Sounded like we were talking to Al Lewis the other day on the radio, your broadcaster, and he said that a number of players got there very quickly, and he said the team really came together around these guys.
They did. And to me, that, again, that didn't define who we are. I just think it reflects, in times of adversity, it reflects who you are as a person and as a team or as a community or as a family. And our guys did. They wrapped their arms around them. And, I mean, we've had our share of adversity over the last couple of years in different forms. And so, to me, it's just another way to demonstrate, you know, a love and a care factor.
All right. On the positive side, you had a contract extension that was put in. And there's stadium expansion going on. And for this year at least, that seems to be a responsible schedule to become a Mountain West champion. A road game with Washington, but some you have to play BYU. And
you call it responsible. I call it difficult.
Well, it could be worse.
There's no question.
You could take on Fresno's schedule. I mean, yeah. The way they've built it with two Power 5 road games a year. And I know
we're playing three Power 5 teams this year. You know, two on the road, Utah and in Washington, and we got BYU at home. I mean, I know they're independent, but that's a Power 5 program.
Sure. At least there's some familiarity with
no
Utah
question.
And BYU. You know you're getting into that whether you want to or not.
Yeah, but, I mean, to play three out of your four as Power 5 and then who they are and where they've been and bowl games and all that, I think that's that is a big responsibility. It's difficult. It's a major challenge, and, you know, hopefully our kids will be up for it.
I was going to say, I can't believe Utah State's played a tougher schedule with those people. And then you guys, if the prognosticators are correct, you guys draw the three toughest out of the West this year.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. And that's what, to me, makes this the toughest schedule that we've had since I've been at Utah State. I don't think there's any question, top to bottom, it's the toughest schedule because the teams that we are going to play on the West have been to bowl games. And, you know, obviously Fresno, San Diego State, and Nevada are where they've been the last few years, and I think that goes without saying that that makes it a little harder for us.
Well, now you got all this behind you. You have Chucky Keaton back. You have your Thackrell back, their knees and all that stuff, Coach. It sounds like in talking to Chucky, he don't want to play with a brace. He thinks he plays better without it. It's more mobile for him. I don't know. Thackrell probably wants to play without pads from what I've seen of him. That would be a fairly accurate statement in my opinion. The way he described that injury at Tennessee, you know, I thought I had him on the verge of saying, yeah, I know it popped, but did you tell him that? Well, I don't remember, and that probably is the way this guy plays with his hair on fire.
He does.
But how do you go about now their psyches, what they wear or don't wear?
It's whatever they want to do. You know, those are two young men that care more about the logo on their chest than they do about themselves. They're everything that you want as a coach. And a young man off the field and a young man in the classroom. They're guys that they're both going to graduate in December. They're not low maintenance. They're zero maintenance. They're tremendous in the community. And then they're great players. They're football junkies. They're in that office all the time doing everything above and beyond and extra. They're everything that you want. So whatever they think makes them a better player, then I'm all for it.
Man, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.